This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Maddox got hurt for Boise, but Boise got filleted. I think it's possible if they still won the league that even with a second loss they could get in. Although you start to then have the JMU problem. Especially if it turns out, at the time it didn't feel like it was much, but when JMU went to Louisville early in the season and lost on a Friday night by 14, most people kind of were like, well, I just don't think Louisville's that good. But then you could get into a situation where maybe JMU is back into it. But I do think there's enough in the Mountain West. You still have San Diego State out there as well. But it's entirely possible if you could still win. If you took a second loss and got to the title game and won, I think it's still possible that you could get in.
All right, let's just try not losing. That's the plan.
Let's make it clear.
Because, I mean, to have, because for the future of college football's bracket and the opportunities, I start getting really concerned if the best team has more than one loss in general. I think that's going to be an issue. But, George?
If we're bringing up, I mean, this for the SEC, but if we're talking about this strength of schedule metric that's being brought into this,
yeah,
I would have to think that the winner of the American very clearly has the highest strength of schedule metric ranking, however that works, yes, relative to these other conferences, because, I mean, this is a tight race. We're talking about a USF team that has gone on the road and won big SEC games. And if it takes beating both Tulane and Navy, the other two best teams in your conference that are likely only going to end the season with 2-3 at the most losses.
Right.
You run into a North Texas problem. So North Texas's remainder is at UAB, at Rice, Temple, and right, they only have one loss.
Right.
So you run into an issue of, can you spend a loss? Like, can you spend a loss and still get into the title game? You'd have tiebreakers against
the other
Tulane
teams that will have like two losses because
you would
Navy
give Tulane
lost
a second loss. You'd give Navy a second loss, but South Florida's still sitting here with one loss.
Right.
Like, that's where it starts. So, to Kevin's point,
obviously winning is just
I mean, the rankings come out tomorrow, which is Memphis is going to be involved on this, you know, for real. Like, they made it to the point in the season here. We're into November. We're starting to seriously talk about who's going to be where. But the Memphis matchup 5-12 with Georgia seems to be what's penciled in right now. It could change. I just can't emphasize the importance of. Because I do think, you know, we take for granted that what we know about sports, but the casual fans and the people to see Memphis's logo slapped in on this bracket, like, it puts you on the same, like, playing field as all of these other logos that you see. Like, it is very important for the future of the program to win in football and to get that number 12 seed in the college football playoffs as often as you can, because I think it's going to be a factor in the next college football or the next college realignment for conferences. It's gonna matter that Memphis is on there and people see Memphis's logo next to Georgia. Memphis Wednesday play, like, it's there. Like, there's only 12 logos that will be on the bracket when it officially does come out, and Memphis to have one of those, like, that's huge. It's huge.
It's always one of my favorite sports business stories when somebody tries to calculate what the value of the free advertising was.
Right.
Like, you know, just being involved. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will get into the list. Also, during the second hour, CJ Hurt is going to join the program. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. CJ Hurt of Grind City Media is going to join us during the next segment. We'll get his thoughts on the Grizzlies, everything that's happened with Ja Morant. But before that, let's get into the list. The World Series. All right, boys, we mentioned it. Was Game 7 the greatest game ever played? In an era when we watch something that is undeniably great, we tend to go hyperbolic. However, The Athletic has made the case that this Game 7 could 100% be considered the greatest Game 7 of all time. They went to the 15 winner-take-all games that had any of the four criterias. Extra innings, a deficit of 3+ runs that was overcome, a lost lead in the 9th inning or later, and a golden pitch. For those that don't know what a golden pitch is, it was a concept that was created where when the pitch is thrown, either team could win on the given pitch. So, for instance, if you have multiple runners on base, but there's less than one out, obviously a game-winning hit or a sacrifice fly could win the game for the one team, but a double play could also end the game for the defense.
Which we saw. Yeah.
Correct. Game 7 on Saturday night had every single one of the criteria. We've only had two other examples where three of the criteria were met. Wow. The 1997 final, World Series Game 7, Indians and Marlins, and then the 1912 World Series.
I remember the 1912.
I can't say I saw that one from memory. There was also, according to one of my buddies that works for Major League Baseball, there were seven instances. I beg your pardon. There were nine instances of massively impactful plays that occurred in Game 7. The next closest was 7, and then it was a bunch with 5. So, like, for instance, the catches in the outfield, like the over-the-shoulder grabs, the
one to send it in extras where they bumped into each other.
Like, just the play at the plate.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there were plenty of instances of game-changing. I guess the way that I look at it is, like, I don't feel confident enough in a sport where there's so much history to say undeniably this was the greatest. But the thing that stood out to me about this World Series in general was it just felt like this one delivered. And to me, like,
100%.
It's kind of like when you and I were talking about, like, offhand, it's like, whenever you watch a WrestleMania, it's like, all right, if it was a good one, where does it stack up? To me, it's like the only ones I can really think of, like, if I set aside the Cardinals, like, and obviously I have a rooting interest, but the Cardinals have been involved in a dramatic World Series in 2011, but 2016 really stands out. But that's because you had the Cubs element, and then you also had extra innings. But this one, just in terms of watchability of every single game, it just felt like it delivered.
For sure. I mean, you were having records broken, right? Extra innings being played. And as you said, you're going through this list of the, I didn't even know existed, but it's a fair way to grade how exciting a baseball game is, especially in a World Series. So, like, I mean, so it's the highest rated World Series
since 2017.
And the highest one recently,
2016.
The 2016 Chicago Cubs, one that you're mentioning. So the only thing really missed was that, right? If this World Series, if the Blue Jays were changed out with the Cubs, if it was Cubs-Dodgers
or
somehow, if you could change out.
But there's also, like, we kind of saw it, like, with the Red Sox, when the Red Sox finally broke the curse.
It didn't matter after.
Right, them being in the World Series and winning was significant only because the Boston Red Sox won the World Series. It didn't have the historical element. I mean, I think the problem is there's not really...
Would there have been a different team instead of the Blue Jays, I guess? I don't think this World Series would have worked without the Dodgers, right?
Because I 1,000% agree. You had to have the insurmountable villain.
Right. And they were just... I mean, what? I mean, how many different, like, this is the first game ever where the pitcher has this, and the home runs and this and that. All that's going on, right?
The first time the Dodgers previously, when trailing 3-2, they'd never even won a game six. They won a game six and a game seven.
I love it. Anytime we can have so many records being broken. Of course, baseball has a unique records that you can be broken any type of way. But I wonder, I don't know who it is, but that's the only way I think they could have elevated it to another level. What team that is, we don't know. Like we're saying, like, I think the Cubs don't matter as much anymore. The baby faces of baseball, like Red Sox, they don't matter anymore. Well, we have one team that, I guess, that was involved in this postseason who has never won a World Series. And could their involvement...
I mean, I guess, like, what if, like...
You have a team that has never won the World Series before in the World Series that could have added an element.
So I guess let's...
But really, they did everything. What else could you ask for?
Let's just flip one result. Now, I also don't know if it would have been... George and I talked about this. I felt like the Blue Jays were the best chance to beat the Dodgers.
They looked like they almost did.
For what it's worth, too, the Blue Jays, on the whole, played better.
Yeah.
In the series.
I mean, they won the aggregate, yeah.
They were the better team on paper.
For more games, yeah.
But you had the Mariners sitting right there.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. Like, so if we would have just flipped.
If they would have gotten there.
If we would have just flipped.
And it was America cheering for America, just a team that's never done it before.
Maybe.
If everything played out the same way. So I'm telling you, it still was a 7-game.
Yeah, no,
the comebacks that you had, like, everything would have played out. The jerseys would have been swapped out.
Right.
And you actually had a team to cheer for versus a team to cheer against. I mean, the only reason people, Blue Jays, sure, they had a great story. It's been 32 years, which is amazing since I remember them making that World Series and how important that was. But I think that could have added. And not that they needed it. I mean, this was a great time for baseball this year.
I mean, you also...
And now they have a true villain going into next season. Like,
well, the
back-to-back
Dodgers,
win for the World Series.
The
like,
first time right since the Yankees?
Yes.
Correct.
Right. And so here we are. A true team that should be villains. Nothing more villainous than trying to start a dynasty.
Yeah, I mean, I think where I struggle with would the Mariners have made it a better story is I don't know if the Mariners could have provided the test that the Blue Jays did.
Because like, I'm saying, Jeffrey, if we just
I think that probably would have been.
It could have been more crushing too as we were watching it.
But I also think this is where the
think of the what was at stake for them, and then they lose. The Mariners lose in Game 7.
I don't really think the Canada of it all though played an impact. I think everybody was kind of decided like you're just rooting against the Dodgers. Like, I don't think the Canada of it all mattered.
I'm setting the Canada aside. I love Canada. Oh, Canada.
Yeah, no, you were asking, like, from the masses.
Never won. Like, yeah. They've never, you know, they're the one team. And they could have been there, and then we could have seen them not win it while they were there to the evil Dodgers would have been a more crushing defeat.
Yeah.
I think there could have been more drama. I'm not saying that they needed it. The point is, like, baseball can be awesome and people will watch it when there's something at stake. And the problem with baseball, like, even in their postseason, like, their postseason still seems a little rushed in a lot of ways with these earlier parts of the postseason where you're playing one game or best of five and
now,
all that. Like,
now we got the best of three wild cards and then best of five, best of seven, best of seven.
Which looks great on paper, but like honestly, like we wait all year to get to games that matter. And when they do, and you can get to a game seven, I mean, there's just really nothing like it. We want to watch baseball games that matter, and we got it this year. Shout out to this World Series. I think we're gonna look back at it. I agree with you. Most of them we in our memories are the ones. I think we would have enjoyed this one even more if the Mariners were doing exactly what the Blue Jays were doing, because the ones that we really do remember are like, what did the Yankees do after 9/11? What did the Cubs, you know, what the Cubs World Series, the Red Sox? It always matters who the baby face underdog is. And it does help the story a little bit.
Well, I mean, I was also thinking about this. Okay, what were the concurrent college games? So we had Tennessee, Oklahoma.
Yes.
Which probably...
of local interest was big.
I would assume that did about a 6 million, 7 million number. Nebraska was playing USC.
Yep.
At that time. That was on NBC, correct? I think that was on NBC.
That sounds right.
We had
a bunch of overlap. There was also a bit of the, for local interest, Ole Miss game. There was a bit of the Georgia Tech game.
Yeah, and then also people turning the channel, if you went to turn the channel to the SEC Network to see whether or not Auburn was getting fired.
Oh, we had the quad box going where I was at, so don't you even worry.
Which...
I kept a close eye on
that. I guess we'll bring up Hugh Freeze.
Yes.
So, it's over. I've won. I think the thing that was interesting about this firing, for a man that oftentimes drama and like chaos and just high, like he's like a highly volatile, like there's always like an electricity around him, either love, hate, like to your whole baby face point, like,
yeah,
like whether or not like you love him, whether or not you hate him, like there was a care factor. You know what I found interesting about the end? Nobody really cared. It's just kind of in the end.
I mean,
it was like
no scandal. There was no big. Back to my point of I want things to be interesting, and this has not been interesting under Hugh Freeze at all. His departure from Ole Miss was very interesting.
No, and you get down to it, it's like the same thing that plagued him in year one. He doubled down in year two. Didn't get quarterback right.
Yep.
All right. Now they go, and because he was unwilling to give up his offense, that eliminates John Mateer and Arbuckle because they were going to be a package deal. So he wasn't going to do that. And you wind up with Jackson Arnold. And Jackson has been worse than I thought. But to act as if he was the only problem. I mean, you saw at the end of the day, Hugh Freeze turned back to Jackson Arnold in this game. And it was just kind of like the ultimate icing on the cake, which is you could not figure out your side of the ball. And... you know, this started off with, well, we're going to hire an elite staff around him. It's the same staff he's always had around him of yes men. Like, his best.
That's not going to work anywhere.
No. Correct. And
anybody.
They just couldn't figure it out. And it's like, this was like so clear. Like, we've had some firings where you're like, man, that felt wrong. Or like, that felt at least aggressive. This one, everyone's like, yeah, you probably can't lose to Kentucky 10-3 at home.
Yeah. There's a lot of questions I got about, because I mean, this was one obviously you said was going to kind of end up the way that it ended up.
Yeah.
But what's next for Hugh Freeze?
So I don't know. I mean, I will imagine this, if Ryan gets another gig, he's certainly going to position to get the Memphis job. Now, I don't think that does not feel like a hire that Ed Scott would make. But, I mean, I do.
What do you think about him coaching Memphis? At one point in time, I would say, okay, let's go. Let's try it.
I think you're going to run into the exact same issues. Now, where the Memphis job and him could work is if he is at a job where the school has a talent advantage, then maybe. Because
he did great at Arkansas State.
Did great at Arkansas State, did great at Liberty. Like, these are places that had massive structural advantages. Memphis would have an advantage there, but I also think that this is true. I can probably name 20 other coaches that I think would do a better job.
Right. Memphis is not, the thing that works for Memphis is not
like,
to go after
because here's another part of the Hugh story that
don't jump on the carousel, find the coach that's out there.
I mean, a lot of the Hugh story is really building an entire identity around beating Alabama twice. One of which, I watched it on the field, they were the better team. They outplayed Alabama. The other time, Alabama started the wrong quarterback. There were 5 turnovers of the game. There was a pass that bounced off a guy's helmet and went for a touchdown. There was some flukiness. But the entire identity was built around that. But I also look at that era of the SEC where, okay, LSU's on the last legs of Les Miles. A&M is on the last legs of Kevin Sumlin. Arkansas is in that weird transition of, okay, we're going from, we're like, what do we do post-Petrino going to Burt? And then they didn't really have an identity. And at that point, Vanderbilt is post, Vanderbilt at that point is post-James Franklin. So, like, I got to play them every single year. And basically, like, I don't think it was a coincidence that there was a significant period of time where Ole Miss and Mississippi State were hyper-competitive in the SEC at the same time. But a lot of that is taking advantage of a league that was probably not firing on all cylinders. Well, now you're in a situation where the talent has been more widespread than ever, and how good of a game day coach you are really matters. He finishes this 2-10 in one score games.
Yeah.
And look at the teams that are doing well in this era. It's the teams that win a bunch of one score games. And I always contended he got way more credit than Houston Nutt did, but Houston Nutt had a kind of similar 2-year window. It's just Houston Nutt's massive win was against Florida and then an LSU win, but his were against Alabama and Saban, and so it just carried this mystique. But
it carried him a long way.
Yeah, and to the point in which Auburn made this belief, like Auburn had this belief that like all the Ole Miss people that covered him were wrong. Basically everything we told you, he's never going to hire a good staff. He parlayed one recruiting class into a lot of success, but he never built anything sustainable. And there's always chaos around him. And ironically, the one that mattered the least in this is the chaos around him, other than just the fact that he is so egotistical about his offensive acumen, he refused to give up an offense. And in the end, that's the reason why he got fired, because they are one of three teams that has not given up more than 23 points to an FBS opponent this year. The other two are Ohio State and Indiana.
Interesting. So Hugh Freeze, we don't know. What about Auburn? What do you think? Where is Auburn like?
So,
because I'm looking at Alabama seems, you know, obviously they don't save it anymore, but they seem to have the money needed, and they might have the right coach they need to move forward in this current environment. Auburn, though, they're the little brother to Alabama in that state.
Yeah, I mean, the other problem that Auburn has had the last decade is not only you have this
Auburn now, by the way, losing their basketball coach by retirement, correct, and their football coach here all within a month.
The problem that Auburn has had the last decade is they've had periods of time where Georgia was operating at peak efficiency, but they've never had periods where Alabama and Georgia are operating at peak efficiency at the same time. Right. And you're up against that. So that is a difficult position to begin with. I think the other issue that I have that I'm watching in this cycle is how many of these teams are just going to try and get biggest available name, because biggest available name can ignite the fan base that gets the capital giving going, or are some of these teams going to look around and are we seeing maybe a response to the we're not doing the buyout thing again? And so maybe some of these teams go and say, well, what we're going to invest in is a coach that we think is a good, solid coach, but maybe he doesn't win the press conference. And we're going to build the operation up. We're going to have NIL running. We're going to have a great staff. We are going to do all the things necessary that allow us to have a good GM and a good scouting department and everything. Do we really NFL this? I don't know.
I mean, you have Auburn, obviously below LSU, below Penn State, below Florida. Where is it? I mean, it's below Arkansas, or do you go Arkansas?
I think it's above Arkansas.
I think it's above Arkansas still.
I mean, there's another big question.
UCLA?
Yeah, it's ahead of that. There's another big question that we're not going to get solved because no one wants these out there. A huge question for these coaching searches is going to be how much dead money is in the roster. Because a lot of these teams that had the we have to win now, they front-loaded a lot of these NIL offers, and so you're stuck with maybe a lot of guys owing them a lot of money, and how are you going to get, like...
So you're putting Auburn as, like, the fourth best job available. I mean, they're going to...
So I still think I'd rather have Penn State.
I'm trying. We have LSU.
I'd rather have Penn State, LSU, Florida, and then Auburn.
And then Auburn's at number four.
Yeah.
There's not, I mean, the other, Oklahoma State.
Auburn.
Virginia Tech.
Auburn.
Stanford.
Auburn.
Oregon State.
Auburn.
Colorado State.
Auburn.
And then it gets down to like UAB. We're getting down, like, yeah. That's we're out of the peak area now, but there still could be more. Could be more to come. I mean, Auburn needs, Hugh Freeze didn't do what they were needing him to do at all.
No, but I mean, I will say this, like, if you're able to come in and convince a lot of that roster to stay, that team has some talent.
But I'm just saying, I don't know. We're seeing who can compete in this current. I don't know what the money situation is at Auburn versus the money to Alabama, because I know the state doesn't have that much money in total, and it seems like a lot of that is going to the University of Alabama.
Well, there's there's a little bit of Auburn chaos. Like, there's a lot of the boosters end up running the asylum a lot. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk of the Memphis Grizzlies with C.J. Hurt. We'll get his thoughts on Ja's suspension, Ja's return tonight. We'll talk about that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
CJ Hurt is a Grind City Media personality. Of course, you can see him every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Follow him on the Everything app at ConRadicalness. CJ, what is your best interpretation of what happened on Friday night with the Grizzlies?
Best interpretation I got, just people being competitive. People being direct, people in the hype and in the most competitive environment they can be in. And the regular season. Just letting their emotions get the best of them. People who want to want what's best for themselves and what's best for the franchise as a whole. Letting their emotions take the best of them. You got a coach who's holding a superstar accountable. And you got a superstar who feels like he's doing everything and then some to contribute to winning. Frustrations boiled over and it kind of spilled outside of the locker room into our consciousness. Don't get it twisted. This type of stuff happens all the time. The stuff that spills out into the public sphere, not necessarily quite so much, but competitive people get into these shouting matches all of the time in this type of an environment. It just doesn't typically spill over into the public like that. But I think that's best I can tell. That's what's going on here.
How much of Ja Morant's play on Friday night, or maybe even, you know, the play of Luka and the fact that, you know, you got the Amazon Prime spot or Prime Video spot and it's not a big night. How much do you think that impacted what we saw?
I impacted it. How so?
Like, I just feel like oftentimes when we see a jaw outburst or whatnot, to your point, I totally agree with you. A lot of stuff happens in the locker room that never gets reported, but I guess we have to also acknowledge, like, the Grizzlies did announce a suspension, so, like, they chose to make it public to a certain degree, but I just noticed that a lot of times when he gets in these feature spots and he doesn't have the big night and somebody else overshadows him, that that leads to more jaw frustration.
I think he was frustrated before the game ended, right? Like, yeah. You could see it boiling over onto the court. So I don't think that had much to do with it at all. Again, I think that it's two people coaching a player who both want to win and both have a vision on what winning looks like. And I think both of them have to know that you can't do this without the other.
Yes.
Y'all can't go out there and win the game without a head coach. And right now that's Coach T.I. And he has to know that this team is only going to go as far as Ja's shoulders will carry them. But I think in that moment, the emotions for both of them got the better of them. And that's what happened. I think that would have happened regardless of who the opponent was and where the game was being played. I think it is. I am certain that type of an outburst was bound to happen no matter what.
What do you think we see tonight?
Oh, this is the best part of the story. You know, you said it, I said it. Like, this is common. It's spilling over into the media is a bit less common, but it is still common. We see this happen from time to time in sports. And the way that it kind of resolves itself is, hey, what happens next? What's going to happen the next time you get a chance to compete? And so that's what I'm looking forward to seeing. I don't know what the hell is going to happen. I don't, honestly. I know what I hope to happen. I hope that everybody pushes past this and uses this as sort of a catalyst to find a way to communicate effectively with one another, both in the heat of battle and outside of the basketball that's being played on the court. That's what I hope to happen. I remember, was it Barrett Jones? Who was the quarterback when Barrett Jones was just going in? Was that A.J. McCarron?
A.J. McCarron, yeah, they got into it. On, remember, yeah.
A national championship game up 30 or something ridiculous like that, and they're about to come to blows on the sideline. See it with Jeff Saturday, or seen it with Jeff Saturday in Peyton Manning. Hell, Reggie Wayne just told a story about him getting into it with Peyton Manning on the sideline. Allen Iverson, Larry Brown, you know, like, these things happen. Phil Jackson, Kobe Bryant, these things sort of happen from time to time, but we remember them differently based off of how everybody responds after the fact. So you can have these types of outbursts. You can have these types of moments happening when you get two competitive people facing off on the same side and just, you know, things get so heated that they end up mad at one another. And it still results in the team going as far as the team wanted to go, right? Like, Draymond Green and Kevin Durant that last year was real tense. Real tense. They did not like each other. We know that because media reports coming out of that locker room was like, yeah, Draymond just cursed Kevin Durant out.
He's at that the Warriors didn't need them, need him, even though it was very clear that the Warriors did need Kevin Durant. And they still got to NBA Finals. So these types of things happen. But it's how everybody responds going forward that will dictate how we remember it. So going back to the question about tonight, I have no clue how everybody's going to respond. But I do know that this will tell us as much about where this team is and where these two as coach and player are as the outbursts on Friday.
How much do you think the deployment and the rotation issues, how much do you think that is impacting the frustrations that we're seeing?
Sure. Right. But like anything that's not equating to the Grizzlies winning is going to impact
this. Yes.
Like that's what it boils down to. If the Grizzlies were winning with this rotation pattern, Ja would be completely and totally fine. If the Grizzlies were winning with this rotation pattern, I think Coach Isola would be completely and totally fine. They'd be buddy, buddy, chummy, chummy, right? But they're not. And there have been moments of true befuddlement and frustration and struggles 7 games into the season. And they don't want to lose. Like they don't like losing. Ja Morant, Coach T.I., nobody on this roster has ever accepted losing and failure in that sort of a way. So there's some growing pains going on right now, but it's to be expected. You got to find a way to play through it. Everybody has to find a way to be professional. You can't hurt your team by, one, if your job being suspended, and two, if you're the head coach, by pushing a player to the brink of that type of an emotional outburst where the only thing you can do going forward is suspend them. I think it's, one game isn't going to wreck a season. Been suspended. Now let's see how he comes out and responds. The rotation, certainly a part of that, but the true frustration is in the losing. They start winning and all of this goes away.
All right. Well, so tonight, how do you think it's going to go though? What's your prediction tonight? Are we going to hear from Ja before the game? Do you have any inside information on that?
I don't have any inside information. What do you mean?
Look, I want you work up there, right? At FedEx Forum. Is your office not at FedEx Forum?
No, I work in the admin building, which is next door to the FedEx.
Yeah,
I can look out right now out the window and I see FedEx Forum right there on the sign. But like on game day, they don't let me in there without a badge. So I ain't even been over there. I left my badge at home. Crazy.
What would you ask Ja if you got to talk to him before the game?
What would I ask him?
Yeah, what would you ask him?
Oh, nothing, because I don't care what he has to say. Nothing. What he has to say does not matter. What he does matters. And when Ja Morant is healthy and on the court, he is one of the most exciting, one of the most electrifying, one of the most clutch basketball players that there is in the NBA right now. So, he's smart enough to know how to answer the questions appropriately if he wants to. He's also smart enough to know how to send a message through media, through social media as well, if he wants to. So what he's saying does not matter. It's what he is doing.
Right.
The outburst in the locker room, that's one thing. But the way he played on Friday, that's the concerning thing for me. Because I don't think we've seen him do that on the basketball court. And if we have, it's been few and far between. That is the thing of the most interest for me. Just go out there and compete, man. Go out there and be the player that we think you are and go out there and give this team the best chance at winning like we all know that he does.
Well, what do you say to the mostly national media, right, that jumps on anything that goes on with Ja, Ja Morant? Like, hey, Ja's got to be traded. Ja needs to be traded. What would you say to that?
Does he need to be traded?
The Grizzlies should trade Ja. Or this is why is that the only thing the national media could ever talk about with the Grizzlies and Ja Morant? Something goes bad, Ja needs to be traded.
Under the market's eyes, you know that's why. But the national media, pump your brakes a little bit. Let's see how this plays out. This is the first time that there's been this level of, or this is the first time accountability has been levied out in this sort of a way. So nobody really knows how anybody's going to respond, be it the Ja, the coaches, the players around them. Nobody really knows. So just sit tight and see how everybody responds to it. No need to immediately rush to got to make a trade, which is easier said than done. Also, there's a lot of dudes out here, a lot of teams who would love to have John Morant, who probably can't trade for John Morant for various reasons, various exceptions, the cap being what the cap is, that sort of stuff. So it's easier said than done. We can do all of these fantasy trades in our mind, but like that doesn't mean, just because it works in your head, that doesn't mean that it's going to work on paper. So let's see, let it play out, and you know, wait and see.
Yeah, I think the thing that was kind of surprising is it felt like before Friday, vibes were good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know it's not as if, okay, the wins that we're talking about are the wins that you're going to talk about the end of the season being as great wins. But, you know, I think everybody acknowledged the Grizzlies are shorthanded given their injuries and what they have in the personnel front. You know, Cedric has, I think, given everyone every reason to be hopeful about him. And, yeah, like, it wasn't a perfect start, but Ja was having a nice start. He was playing in every game. Like, I don't know. I guess that's just kind of what fascinates me is, like, why we have these drastic, like, swings.
It's like just, it's that perfect couple that's posting pictures on social media. Everything's so great, but you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, Jeffrey. You don't know what's really happening in real life, right, CJ?
Yeah, no, you just don't know what's happening. And now we kind of got a little picky at what's happening, which may or may not be the best sort of thing. And you can always rectify it by going out there and winning, right? Like, that's the only thing that's going to put this situation behind everybody. That's going to be the best way to put this situation behind is to go out there and win. You got to get people into rooms, and I'm not sure if they've done that or not, but I would imagine that if you're a boss, a general manager, president, somebody like that, you found a way to get Coach T.I. and Ja in a room somewhere, on a call somewhere, to like, hey, guys, we can't do this. You guys need one another. We need you if we're going to go where we're going to go. And you hope everybody's on the same page and everybody goes out there and puts their best foot forward. That's all you can do, man. And it's frustrating, I know, especially as a competitor, because you want to go out there and you want to win every single game and you want to play as much as humanly possible. You don't want to be load managed at all and sitting out games. And so far this season, that's not the case. But you also want to play as many minutes as humanly possible while you can. I understand there's some frustration in that, but yo, you got to find a way to keep it in check, manage yourself a bit better. There's an appropriate way to talk to coaches about that sort of stuff. And as a coach, there's an appropriate way to get on a superstar player, especially when you don't have the pedigree that lends itself to you being able to get on a star player in that sort of a way. Greg Popovich could get on to Tim Duncan because they won championships together. You know, Phil Jackson could get on to Shaq and could get on to Kobe because he three-peated with the Bulls, you know. So he three-peated twice with the Bulls, right? So when you don't have that sort of resume behind your name, you got to approach things a bit differently. But hey, listen, go out there. It's all behind everybody. It should be all behind everybody now. Get out there, get on the court, compete, and let's see what happens.
All right, and then we'll wrap up here. We get the news that Edie is headed to the Hustle. How close do you think we are to actually getting Zach Edie back?
If he's going to the Hustle, that means he's good to go. He's just got to work on some conditioning. They want him to get a couple of games under his belt. So I would guess just recklessly. I don't know what the Hustle schedule is. I don't know what the Grizzlies schedule is. I don't have it in front of me. But recklessly, I would assume Edie will play a game, maybe two games with the Hustle, and then be ready to go sooner rather than later. Real reckless on this thing.
Yeah.
Real reckless. No information again. They don't let me into the forum on game days. I would say Edie plays Sunday. Just guessing.
Yeah. Oh, really?
That's hey, man, the sooner the better. I mean, I think that would be about right. I think some people were starting to say around November 7th. So that would be, that's about the right time based on that timeline. All right, my man, I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
All right, y'all. All right.
That is CJ Hurt of Grind City Media. When we come back, we'll tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, boys, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. I don't know how many people had eyes on the Packers and the Panthers, but Rico Dowdle scored a big touchdown, and he got flagged for a second pump. Well, Rico, after the game, said, "From my understanding and everything I've learned, we go over stuff like this every week in the meeting room. I definitely think that you're supposed to get two pumps. Hopefully I don't get fined." I do love how now what is actually being quoted as law is just a Key and Peele sketch. You can get two pumps, you can't get that third pump. And everyone's using that like as if it's law.
Yeah, I like it. We should have more. Yeah.
Just hopes he doesn't get fined. That's tough. I want to thank CJ Hurt for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.